Welcome to SBS, Professor Michael Kidd. I'm going to begin asking by a question which perhaps everyone in Australia wants to know, that why we are seeing a record number of COVID cases in the country despite we having more than 90% full vaccination rate?
Yes, thank you, Sahil, and thank you for the opportunity to talk with you and your listeners today. Look, the reason why we're seeing such record numbers of infections is because of this Omicron variant. So this new variant, which appeared at the end of last year in South Africa, very quickly spread around the world. It is, as we've seen, much more infectious than the original strain of COVID-19 or the other variants that we were dealing with last year, particularly the Delta variant. And so therefore we're seeing a much larger number of people being infected with COVID-19. Fortunately though, we are one of the most highly vaccinated countries in the world. So our population has a high degree of protection against becoming seriously unwell when people are infected with this Omicron variant of COVID-19. So even though we are seeing lots of people reporting infections, many of those people have no symptoms at all. Many of those people, if they do have symptoms, it's just mild, what we call mild symptoms, runny nose, dry cough, sore throat, aches and pains. There are very few people who are becoming seriously unwell, needing medical care and needing hospitalisation and needing intensive care treatments as well. Having said that, though, we have had just yesterday a record number of people who lost their lives in New South Wales to COVID-19. So because of the very large number of people being infected, we are still seeing some people becoming seriously unwell and tragically losing their lives. But if we hadn't had such a strong uptake of vaccination in Australia, it's likely our healthcare system would be overwhelmed. It's likely we'd have much higher numbers of people in hospital and intensive care and much higher death rates from COVID-19. So our vaccination program is protecting most people in Australia, but we are still seeing some people who, even though they've been vaccinated, are getting COVID and getting symptoms. And this is why we have the booster program, because the booster program helps to give your immune system that extra lift, if you like, and that makes it less likely that if you come in contact with COVID-19, that you will develop symptoms and be able to transmit to other people. So at the moment, we're offering the booster to everybody who had their second dose of a vaccine 4 or more months ago. And from the end of January, it'll be for everyone who had the second dose 3 or more months ago.
Yes. Professor Kidd, like you said, the number of hospitalization is also rising. Does it mean that the current vaccines are not protecting people against the Omicron variant, and that's the reason we need a booster dose?
So the current vaccines, fortunately, are effective against Omicron. But what we've found over time is that the immunity that people develop, it wanes over time. So it becomes a little less. And then as time progresses, it becomes lower and lower. And then people are more at risk of contracting COVID-19 if they come in contact with someone with COVID-19. Some of those people are at risk of developing more severe symptoms than may have been the case a couple of months after they'd been immunised. So it's why the boosters are so important. We're watching very closely to see how sustained the protection is from these booster doses. There are a number of countries, as you'll be aware, Sahil, which are ahead of Australia with their immunisation programs. And so we're watching to see what's happening in those countries with the level of protection provided by the boosters and how long that lasts for. Also, of course, we now have vaccinations for the 12 to 18-year-olds in Australia. And from this week, vaccinations have opened for the 5 to 11-year-olds in Australia as well.
Professor Kidd, many people are at lows and they're confused. They're asking, we have 90% of, vaccination rate. We had both the doses of Pfizer or any other vaccine which is available in the country. Then why are we getting Omicron? I mean, is there a particular reason that we're getting Omicron, or have we become so complacent that, we have let our guard down?
Yes, look, the reason is that the Omicron is a significantly different variant of COVID-19 to the variants that we were dealing with before. You may have seen the reports describing the structure of the Omicron virus being significantly different. And that that means it has a different impact on its infectivity, but also on the ability of the vaccines and the immunity which we've generated through the vaccines combat Omicron when our bodies come in contact with that particular virus. And that's why it's still important that we're doing all that we can to prevent transmission of the Omicron virus. It's not just vaccines, it's all the public health measures that we've been used to over the last 2 years, the physical distancing, the staying at home if you have symptoms and maybe infectious, it's getting tested and then doing the isolation period so you're not passing Omicron on to other people.
So does it mean that, you know, the vaccines, I'm coming back again to my question, does it mean that the current vaccines are not effective against Omicron? That is why we are seeing a spurt in cases.
No, the vaccines are effective. It's just that they're not as effective, not quite as effective as they were against the Delta variant that we had before. So the vaccines do provide a level of protection, and we've seen that in the fact that we haven't had very large numbers of people becoming gravely unwell in Australia, as we saw happen in other countries earlier in the pandemic. So the vaccines are working. We do need those boosters at the four-month period, though, to provide that extra level of protection. Again, people have been turning up in record numbers to get their boosters as well. We're delivering more vaccines through our general practices, pharmacies and other vaccination centres this week than we have at any other time during the pandemic.
But Professor Kidd, I'm also hearing from the community members and many people in Australia that they are not willing to take the booster doses. You know, they're saying that eventually everyone will get COVID, so there's no point taking any booster. Today we have Omicron variant, tomorrow there will be another variant. So every time there's a new variant, we'll be asked to take the new booster shot.
So we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but my message to everybody is you don't want to get COVID-19. You want to do all you can to prevent from contracting this serious communicable disease. And that's why all the other public health measures are so important as well. Wearing masks when you go into the supermarket or into enclosed spaces, keeping that physical distancing happening, and making sure that if you do have anyone in your family who has symptoms, they're isolated from everybody else, and especially from elderly people in your family and from people with chronic disease. We also know that people who are infected with COVID-19 may be at risk of developing long COVID. And this is the ongoing symptoms, which can last, it's now apparent, for many months in some people, where they continue to be unwell for a long period of time. So even though we've had a million people almost who've been diagnosed with COVID-19 in Australia, we've still got 25 million people who have not been diagnosed with COVID-19. So I don't think we should have a fatalistic approach to this. I think we should be doing all we can to keep this under control. It's likely that this Omicron outbreak will be a wave, meaning that it will come to a peak of infections and then it will diminish, as we've seen with the other waves of infection that have occurred in Australia and in every other country around the world. So vaccination is important, the public health measures, our protective measures are important, all of us are playing our part to try and reduce the risk of transmission.
Well, Professor, get two questions here. Have you predicted the peak of this Omicron variant?
Yes, so we have not made a prediction about the peak. We've been watching to see what's happened in other countries, particularly South Africa, where the Omicron variant was first picked up, and it appears to have passed its peak of infections. But the COVID-19 pandemic in South Africa has been different to the pandemic in Australia, because they've had many people in their population infected with COVID-19 during past outbreaks, and some people infected two or three times. In Australia, this is the first time that we're seeing large numbers of people being infected with COVID-19. So each country, what happens with the pandemic is a little bit different. It's hard to say this is happening happening in one country, it's going to happen in another country. We've got to deal with this on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah. Professor Kitt, you were earlier mentioning that, you know, people should take their vaccination, they should take the booster doses, they should maintain social distance, they should wear masks. What about the government and the federal government and the state governments? It seems that both at both levels, the governments have let their guard down. They've been changing constant definition of the close contacts. They are not putting any restrictions on people's movement. So, which means the government is also somewhere needs to bring back those restrictions. Do you think so?
Well, what's happening, of course, as you know, is the Prime Minister is meeting with the premiers and the chief ministers of the states and territories every week at the moment through the National Cabinet and setting national policy. And then that policy is implemented in each state and territory, depending on what's happening with the outbreak in that particular state and territory. So we do see differences, as we've seen throughout the pandemic, in the public health measures in individual states and territories. And that's understandable, although it is also somewhat confusing, of course, for the public as to what's happening and what is required. What we're also seeing, though, is with the very large numbers of people being infected with COVID-19, that this is having an impact on some essential services in Australia. We've seen the impact throughout the pandemic on our healthcare services, on our hospitals, our intensive care units, our general practices. What we're seeing at the moment is impact on other industries, for example, on the food and grocery distribution industry and the importance of being able to get fresh food out to the people of Australia, get product out to our supermarkets so the people can buy the food that they need for their families. So we're having to look at ways of working with individual industries to look at how to ensure that they can still do the essential work they need to do, but do it in a way which provides maximal protection to their workforce and to the general public. And that may mean some variation in some of the requirements that we've had in the past. We have to be flexible during a pandemic. Things change, as we've seen, and I think we've got used over the last 2 years to things changing, and often changing quite rapidly. But you're right, Sahil, that does cause some confusion among the public.
So, Professor Kitt, it seems like that the entire onus is on people and the industry, and the government is shying away from its responsibility. So, if you leave it to the people, they will obviously would like to go out and do things. But as a medical expert, do you think that this is a time when we should bring back those restrictions, those lockdowns?
So the responsibility rests with all of us. It rests with government, rests with employers, rests with workers, rests with everyone in the community to do what we can. We're dealing with this pandemic together. It's affecting the lives of everybody in Australia. So we all have responsibility to do our part in tackling this pandemic. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the second part of your question, Sahil.
No, what I was asking, Professor Kitt, was that as a medical expert, do you think that it's time to bring back those restrictions and those lockdowns in place to cull the number of rising cases?
So what we're seeing is we are seeing some restrictions in place in different states and territories, again, based on what's happening with the current outbreak situation in those states and territories. What we hope is we're not going to see large-scale lockdowns occurring again in Australia. We know how disruptive that is to the lives of absolutely everybody. But we're also following very closely, seeing what's happening in many other countries, seeing how other countries, because we're not alone with this Omicron outbreak. This huge wave that we're seeing in Australia is being replicated in every single country around the world. Now, many other countries are not in the position that Australia is in. We are one of the most highly vaccinated and therefore most highly protected countries in the world. The most important factor from my perspective as a doctor is that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system. We've talked about flattening the curve for the last 2 years. Really important that our hospitals, our intensive care units, our emergency departments, our general practices, our pharmacies, our other healthcare services are still there and available when people need them. And not just for dealing with COVID, for dealing with every medical issue which may arise. So we need to be working together. There, as I say, there are different responses in different states and territories depending on what's happening locally.
Yeah. So do you think we need an out-of-box solution because nobody wants lockdown? The health authorities want some kind of restriction so that the system is not burdened and system is not overstressed. So how can we actually get over this virus or pandemic? Because we don't see any solution coming. And this is what made people more confused and complacent.
Well, I think we all want a degree of control in our lives at a time when some of the control has been taken away from our lives. Now, one of the ways, of course, that we can have that degree of control is through the vaccination programs, through getting the first two doses of the vaccine, through getting the booster vaccine, and now through providing the opportunity for children 5 to 11 in your family to get vaccinated and protected as well. 5 to 11-year-old program, very important because we want these children to get back to normal schooling and the ability to do the extracurricular activities, the sports and the arts programs and the things that children love doing and which so many children have been missing out on over the last 2 years. It's really important for not only the physical health, but mental health of young people in Australia that we regain this degree of normality. So the vaccination programs help, but also doing all that we can to prevent COVID-19 infection from occurring in our own families and through being sensible, maintaining that physical distancing, not putting yourself in situations where you may be at risk with a lot of people who are not wearing masks, particularly if there's high rates of COVID-19 transmission in your part of the country. We're seeing a lot of transmission among young adults at the moment. And although most young adults won't become seriously unwell if they're infected with COVID-19, there is a risk to the older members of their family if they transmit COVID-19 to their parents and grandparents, and also to the younger members of their family, including the under fives, who we can't vaccinate at this time. So I think we all have a responsibility to do all we can to prevent transmission.
Two questions here, Professor Kit. Like when you said the children's between 5 and 11 needs to be vaccinated, and they're very important for the society and the country. A lot of people are not finding appointments online when they want their kids to get vaccinated. So what would be your advice for them?
Yes, look, I know that many parents would like to take their child to their own general practice to get vaccinated because that's where children are used to getting their childhood immunizations, from their own GP, from the wonderful general practice nurse who works in the clinic. If you can't get an appointment at the moment, and we've got to remember we've got over 6,000 sites where vaccines are available to children at the moment. That'll increase to about 8,000 sites over the next few days. If you can't get an appointment today, there will be more appointments becoming available as more vaccine is delivered out to general practices and other sites around the country. But if your own general practice is booked out, there will be local pharmacies in your local area where the vaccines can be administered. We have hubs in the states and the territories. We have Aboriginal medical services, Commonwealth vaccination centres, lots of places where people can go and get their vaccines. And the program has been designed to ensure that every child, we have 2.3 million children in Australia aged between 5 and 11. The program has been designed to ensure that every child has the opportunity to get that first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine by the end of January, meaning that children, most children, once they're returning back to school, will have that degree of added protection from the vaccine, and then 8 weeks later, they get the second dose.
Do we have enough stock of Pfizer in the country?
So the vaccine we're giving to the 5 to 11-year-olds, it's the same vaccine, but it's a third of the dose, and it comes in a different bottle, a different vial. And we have, at the moment, we have enough vaccine of this pediatric dose in the country or arriving in the country over the next week or so.
Professor Kit, what about children who are under 18? What about their booster doses? And those who are between 12 and 18, they have been given the double dose of their vaccine. So now, like we have extended the booster program for people, you know, above 18, what about those who are under 18?
Yes, so you're exactly right, Sahil. The booster program at the moment is for people aged 18 and above. There is still research looking at whether it's going to be necessary for booster doses in those aged 12 to 17. So until that work is completed, we at the moment don't have those vaccines. We don't have booster doses recommended in Australia, but we're following that very closely, both through researchers here in Australia and around the world.
Yeah. Professor Kidd, coming back to the Omicron, 3 weeks ago, we had modeling from Rotary Institute, which said, we will have about 200,000 cases a day in Australia by end of January and early February. It seems like that we're going on that path. And at that time, everyone rejected that modeling. Don't you think that we are going there and we didn't have enough preparation when the modeling came out?
Well, certainly we've known from the end of November when Omicron first started appearing in South Africa that it is a more transmissible variant of COVID-19. So we knew we were going to get very large numbers. Fortunately, we also saw that in most people, it either didn't cause any symptoms or it caused only mild symptoms, particularly among those who are vaccinated. Even though we were seeing some people becoming seriously unwell, it wasn't overwhelming health systems in countries overseas. And that's experience that we're seeing in Australia as well at the moment. But as I say, we all want to do all we can to prevent widespread transmission continuing of this Omicron. It will likely be a wave, just like we've seen with the other waves of COVID-19.
So we did not take Omicron lightly, as the WHO has been advising the countries that, you can't take it lightly and, you should be taking it seriously.
Absolutely, very seriously. And indeed, people in the Department of Health, both at the Commonwealth level and at state and territory level, no Christmas holidays, people working all the way through to support the public. Same applies to doctors and nurses in our hospitals, general practices, our pharmacies, everybody who's involved in supporting the health and well-being of the people of Australia. People have been working right through. This has been a serious outbreak of COVID-19, and it's needed everybody paying very serious attention to it.
Do you think our system, the health system, has crumbled due to the Omicron strain, because we are seeing the queues are very long outside the RT-PCR testing centers, the RAT kits are not available in the country, and hospitals are overwhelmed. So do you think our health system has crumbled and we did not anticipate this kind of surge in the number of Omicron cases?
Yes, so no, we've been preparing for very significant surges of people becoming seriously unwell from COVID-19 right from the beginning of the pandemic. You remember when COVID-19 started spreading to Italy and Iran and the UK, we saw healthcare systems which were overwhelmed, people not being able to be admitted to hospital or to intensive care units. We've done a lot of work in Australia over the last 2 years to make sure that we've increased the capacity for hospitals. We now have the ability to co-opt our private hospitals when they're needed. We can stop elective surgery. We can use those private hospitals to treat people with COVID-19. We've dramatically increased the capacity for the number of intensive care unit beds and the number of ventilators available to people right across Australia. So lots of preparation underway. We're now using, we're reaping the benefits of the preparatory work which has been carried out in the past.
Sure. Professor, my last question is, what's your advice to people who are traveling out of Australia now to countries like India or, Europe, where the WHO is saying that half of the population will be infected soon? So what's your advice?
Well, firstly, make sure you're fully vaccinated, that you've had all the vaccines available to you before you travel out of Australia. Be aware of what the current situation is with outbreaks in other countries. If a country is on a very steep rise with numbers of infections, you may wish to postpone your travel for a month or two to reduce the risk of being infected, going into a country with huge numbers of people being infected. Make sure you've got travel insurance and it will cover you if you become unwell with COVID-19. You want to look very closely at what is the risk of traveling at this time, particularly for people who are elderly And that, unfortunately, elderly means 60 and above, which is my age, and people who have chronic disease, people with diabetes, heart disease, lung disease. This may not be the right time to be travelling out of Australia into countries where there's high rates of COVID.
In your previous interview with me, we had talked about the herd immunity. So do we see, are we going in that direction? Because right now the number of cases in Australia are in 100,000s. Are we heading for a herd immunity? And do you think when people say that they will get COVID and they will develop antibodies, so it's better than taking a booster shot?
So the answer is we are not seeing herd immunity occur in any country around the world with COVID, even in countries which have had much higher rates of community infection than we're seeing here in Australia. You do not want to get COVID-19. You don't want to put yourself at risk of becoming seriously unwell with acute infection. You don't want the risk of long COVID. So do all you can if you haven't been infected to prevent yourself and your family from getting infected.
Thank you, Professor Kidd, for joining us today.
Thank you for the chance to join you. Thank you to your listeners and viewers.